Welcome to Eat This Scroll, a University Fellowship Church podcast. My name is Chris Moore, and I am happy to be here with you and happy to be with my guests. We get together twice a week, usually, to chew on God's word and encourage you with whatever we're exploring about who God is and what that means for our lives in the context of God's people. You, hopefully, listener. This week, we've got Lewis Heindelgard.
I'm sure you've done that one before.
It felt repetitive
yeah,
in my mouth.
Yeah, it felt used. Yeah.
These syllables, I felt them before. Loystrom. Horticulture.
So essentially, you're just using words.
Start with L and H. Start with,
yeah. It's the only commonality.
The point we've gotten to. Okay. Yeah.
So my name is Lou.
Yep.
Hines.
That's what he says.
Actually, Lewis.
I think he's a product of MK Ultra and some CIA. He's a CIA plant.
I don't know what that is. What's MK Ultra?
It's like a brainwashing thing. Oh. I don't know. Google it. Probably don't Google it. Anyways, I'm going to play my hand, reveal my hand too much. So, Lou, we do as we always do. And we sit down and we say, you say, Chris, what are we going to talk about? I say, Lou. Yep. What are we going to talk about? And we talk in circles for 35 minutes. And so here we are. We just missed Monday. There's no episode for Monday yesterday because it was Labor Day. So today will be a wonderful treat, a surprise for our people. The person who's listening right now, unless everyone's moved on. So one thing I want to talk about, and it's something that as pastors, you guys are thinking through, I think, on a regular basis.
Sure.
And the directors as well. We're all trying to obviously glorify God and yet all those steps. But somewhere down the line, we're trying to prod, provoke, encourage, admonish activity in our people that's in alignment with God, his character, his word, his work through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus and the gospel. And I want to talk to you about how one does that, because that's a big task, and it only gets bigger the more people who are in your church, because your impact, dilutes, or, you know, your connection you have with people becomes more difficult. With,
right.
So how do you get all those church people to do what you want, Lou?
Okay. So the question is, how do I
the royal serving? You or you specifically
the royal you?
Let's do royal you, and then we'll drill down and we'll say, okay, Lou, okay, we'll get quiet and say, how do you make this practical?
Well, I, you know, it's interesting because just even as you said it, I'm thinking of Eugene Peterson, and he was very much against the like the mega church mentality.
Yeah.
You know, you just need more and more and more and more people attending your church. And then we could use the excuse, well, it's more people to know Jesus and all this kind of stuff. I would say that there's probably like mixed motivations. Like there is anything that we do, you know?
Yeah.
And that sometimes might have more to do with our own ego than anything. But
yeah, we're never telling people don't share the gospel. Church is too big. It's a little more complicated than that.
But he kept his church to a size of about 425 because that's the amount of people that he could know them on a first name basis and like know the details of their lives. And if you think about it from a pastoral standpoint, what are the duties and responsibilities of a pastor? We would say probably first and foremost that first thing that comes to our mind is preaching, which is true, but there's also pastoral care, which I think has, could I say, largely been forgotten in like this day and age.
Yeah.
And I,
our friend,
yeah,
Richard Baxter.
Oh, yes. Richard Baxter.
He'd have a lot to say about pastoral care.
He has a lot to say about a lot of things.
He has a lot to say about a few things. He just says it over and over and over again.
I mean, I think that, and that's partly because what you primarily hear from pastors is like the podcasts or the sermons, mm-hmm. right? So that's, and maybe I'm revealing more what I think about the contemporary pastoral, like what people think of it, but mm-hmm. we
can't have
what gets notoriety.
Yeah.
Right. It's not how much you care. It's how much you can, anyways,
entertain or
yeah.
dazzle.
Right.
Yeah.
So just as you are first talking about this, I'm thinking of, yeah, Peterson, because mm-hmm. he kept it intentionally to a certain size so that he could care for them mm-hmm. and he could know what to pray for and he could speak into their lives. And so, you know, I think that's part of it, part of this yeah. discussion. We're talking about, okay, how do, and your question is, how does the royal we here at UFC encourage mm-hmm. people to serve? But another thing that comes to mind is just, it's the Pareto principle mm-hmm. Or the 80-20 principle. And it's, you know, we would like it to not apply to the church, but it does. And it's true with any organization. But there's this weird like ratio. And so we'll use it in the terms of those who serve mm-hmm. and the amount that they serve. And the Pareto principle would say that 80% of the people do 20% of the work and 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Mm-hmm. And that's not hard and fast. It could be 70, 30, 30, 70. It could be 10, 90, you know?
Yeah.
But when you look at organizations, any organization, you're always going to have the minority doing the lion's share, mm-hmm. the majority of the work, and the majority of the people doing, you know, the not so much.
Yeah.
And it's just a fact of life.
So serving is an essential part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I think that that's fair, right? Christ came not to be served, but to serve. Christ's our model. Mm-hmm. So we see that. However, it's not the only expression of growth and maturity.
So no.
what do some of those things look like that you're trying to spur our people onto?
Yeah.
You know, as a means of growing in closer intimacy and depth and maturity in Christ, like Paul said, mm-hmm. you should be eating meat now. You're still drinking mm-hmm. milk.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think service, you know, it's something that we should do. And I think that can look different in a lot of different contexts.
Sure.
So, but I think it is a vital part to people's spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. And so we've talked before about spiritual disciplines.
Yeah.
And, you know, we immediately think of like prayer, reading the word, mm-hmm. times of silence, solitude. And those all contribute in a positive way to our growing in Christ-likeness. But I know that when I see people serving, they develop spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I don't know necessarily why that is, you know, and it could be any number of reasons. But so I would say that, and that's really my goal is like a worship. So if we can now move from the royal we, mm-hmm. like me specifically, within the worship ministry, that's why I want people serving. One of the reasons why I want people serving, because I believe it's going to be beneficial for them. And everybody has different time allotments or what their life can allow for. Mm-hmm. So some of the volunteers, they serve every other week. They'd probably serve every week if they could.
And are those like level 3 or 4?
Yeah. They like
one or two Christians and the other ones are
yeah,
higher up on the
they
ladder.
Have like, yeah, they have a few more gold stars and like a special ID badge.
Baby faith, a special ID badge. Peter will recognize it at the pearly gates. Yeah. Like, excuse me. He needs to be front of the line.
Yeah. But some, based on their life stage or whatever, mm-hmm. can only serve like once, yeah. a quarter or whatever, you know? But the fact is, I think it's important for them to serve because I think it when they come to my church,
yeah,
I'm a contributing member.
Well, that prompts the question I had floating around, which was mm-hmm. If service is a catalyst for maturity
yeah.
in one's faith,
sure.
what is it that is at work there? What do they come to understand or involve themselves in that begins to transform? I mean, obviously, We can't mm-hmm. account for any of that without accounting for the work of the Spirit.
Yeah.
But assuming that,
right.
What else is at work?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm to answer that, I'm like trying to reflect back on my own growth and development, you know, back in the day when I was in middle school, high school, and then I started to serve. And I don't really know what it was. And gosh, it's so long ago.
And you're somebody, like 60 years old now, pretty close.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. 36. Yeah. And there's a lot of factors that went into that time of my life, but, you know, they're all connected in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the markers of that time of my life, I started to serve, but then I also started having like a desire for the word and for prayer and for all of these things. And so it was like this confluence of various positive spiritual disciplines, I guess,
mm-hmm.
that really promoted my spiritual growth. And I think that's what happens. You know, like you're spending time in scripture, and that's like an inlet. That's like stuff coming in. But then when you serve, you get to share that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you become a channel or God's grace, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really what we're meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
Any teacher will tell you that they learn the best when they're actually like teaching the material.
Yeah.
It's a positive on both ends. So
how big of a factor would you say belonging contributes to the conversation of spiritual growth and maturity and serving?
In the sense of like, I call this my church home?
Yeah. In what ways do serving interplay with this idea of belonging? And is there a relationship that produces depth and growth in a person's life to the idea of belonging?
Yeah. I think it knits you, when you serve, I think it knits you together with that small portion of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the same when I tithe. It's like this is my
like 80% you're up to now.
This is a trap. but when you give of your you're saying that this is mine, like this is my because you're investing time and in when you're tithing in the form of money, and so it's like you're sacrificing something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it creates a level of ownership, but I think it also connects you to the body of Christ in general.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe this is like old hat at this point, but with the culture that we live in, which is very just like consumeristic and
individualistic.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. you participation is viewed as I come and I sit and I listen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important for the individual member of the body of Christ to contribute in some way other than just listening
mm-hmm.
and even then just giving money, because that can be easy, especially if you're more affluent or you're well off. Yeah, it can be easy just to say like, yeah, I'm just going to write my tithe check.
Right. And,
but time is so much more of a valuable resource because you're only given 24 hours a day. Who knows how many years you're going to live? So,
and you don't foster relationship
through a paycheck
mm-hmm.
or through a check.
Money. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't, that is completely disconnected from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It contributes to a larger system or framework, but not your own personal connection to other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So as always,
uh-huh.
we ponder.
We do ponder.
We look up at the sky. What part does the gospel have in any of this? Obviously, the gospel is the means of our growth, but what about the gospel can somebody fix their eyes on and pray regarding about their own heart as they say, I should serve, or I don't want to serve, but I feel like I ought to.
Yeah.
How can the gospel meet them and spur that on?
Well, yeah, I guess I have a few thoughts. I guess I'll just say, one being the motivation that God loves the church. And goodness knows there's been times when I've been frustrated with the church in general.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say specifically like the American church. And
is it me?
Chris, I'm glad that we could have this conversation. Such a public forum, but yes. No, but I can easily feel frustrated with the state of, let's say, the Western church.
Mm-hmm. Big dub, I like to call it.
And very much, yeah, like want to pull the eject ripcord and...
Live a stoic life out in the...
Something.
Yeah, the hills.
But that's not helpful, and I realize that God still loves the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So the motivation is God's love for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, to your point, that this doesn't... We wouldn't argue that this earns our salvation in any way, but really that it should be the motivation. And I think there's even should be room for those... I use the term prophetic voices, and I don't mean in the sense of like
the revelation.
Or like Old Testament, like you have received the stamp of approval of being a prophet. But the when you look at Old Testament prophets, we normally think of them like foretelling.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that's not what they were doing. They were giving a message from God for the people. And that message was usually moral in character, that something needs to change.
Yeah.
You need to do something differently. And the prophets weren't ever liked for the most part. However, we do need those people in the church today who are saying, this needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you do need to live differently. And so, and I'm not trying to give like a blank check to all the grumpy curmudgeons.
Here's a license to be a jerk in your local church.
There's a way to, I think, go about doing it. But I mean, even that can be an act of service. Anyways, so where am I going with that? I think the motivation should be love for Jesus and love for other people and a desire to be changed, formed in relationship.
Yeah. One way that I've summarized it in my own life is coming to terms with the fact that the bride of Christ is that church, and that church is the bride of Christ. And the way that I think through, and again, we're all wired a little differently, but I think any decent man would probably be have strong feelings about anyone treating their wife a certain way, you know, disrespectfully or cold or callous or vicious, bitterly.
Yeah.
And thinking through how in the world could I have that attitude about Christ's bride when I would, you know, do things in response to you know, somebody treating my wife that way.
For sure.
And that really helped form my attitude towards a bunch of messed up people who all needed the same savior as me. And we all get to cooperate in this refining, sanctifying process of being together, one baptism, one faith, you know? So that's been a helpful model for me to think through.
For sure.
Being involved in the body of Christ.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
But I have the answers, like, just to be clear. Like, I'm involved with other normal human beings, but, like, I'm right. So, like, when there's conflict. That's a joke, everybody. No, even I can be wrong sometimes.
What?
And occasionally, and another member of the body of Christ comes along.
Oh, my gosh.
Very gently, very humbly.
I can't believe you just admitted that.
I know, very humbly. Over the They'll come and tell me, sire, my liege.
Sire.
It appears you have miscalculated your words. No, the body of Christ knocks our hard edges off, you know.
Supposed to.
But it's hard to receive any of the benefits of the body if we're not loving others and serving well.
Yeah, and a part of it. And yeah, serving in your specific way.
Yep. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, there you go.
I'm not I'm not going to play the banjo. Quit trying to get me to play the banjo. I serve in other ways, Lou.
Did play the banjo.
Well, see if you knew me better.
Yeah, gosh darn.
We had fellowship.
I know you play the bass. You played the bass before.
I do play the bass. I'm not very good at it. Connor's way better at it. Get Connor. Sorry, Connor.
He likes being on the team. Yeah, I know.
And that's what you get doing that fun thing you like doing. Oh, this is falling apart. Well, I have had the body of Christ on my mind and just our attitudes towards it as individuals and our activities and what all that says about us and what God's attitude is. So I appreciate you entertaining the conversation. We are 5 minutes over.
Oh man.
I told you to take your headphones off and just walk out. So listener, hopefully this gives you a little bit of something to chew on, a little pebble in your shoe that makes you think of how you can be involved in the body of Christ, the essential nature of the body that we've been adopted into by the same gospel. And that was the desire of our Heavenly Father, that we be in it together. So until next episode, bye. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you to our guests for coming and sharing what they've been chewing on in God's Word. We produce these podcasts and release them twice a week. So please subscribe so you don't miss out on one. And don't forget, love God, love your neighbor, and make disciples.